Welcome to the CRA Resource Show. CRA Resources is a unique recruitment agency with a single focus of providing CRA staffing for clinical studies across North America. My name is Becky Clark, and I'm Senior Operations Manager at CRA Resources. Today, we are sitting down with Angela Roberts, Head of Recruiting, and special guest Ashley Lejean. Ashley is a CRA and founder of The Research Social. Before we get started, make sure to visit craresources.com/blog to catch up on our latest blog posts. You can also sign up there to get this content delivered to your inbox, and I'll turn it over to Angela, and she can give us more details on our topic today.
Ashley, super excited to have you here. And we got connected, and one of my team members actually asked me about your profile because of the fact that you are the inspiring founder of The Research Social. And we as a firm talk about building real connections in clinical research all the time. And I love the fact that you're building this community first platform. And if I understand it correctly, the whole goal is to unite clinical research professionals from every corner of the industry and with a mission to make our field more collaborative, less isolating, truly human. And what I wanted to do today is just explore, first of all, your motivation for launching this initiative, the challenges that you faced, because as Becky says, you are a CRA, and let's just face it, CRAs are busy people. You travel a lot and that type of thing. So how in the world you handled your day-to-day job as well as gathering and supporting this diverse community that you're building? And I want to talk to you about your vision for the group's future. So let's just kind of dig in. Tell me a little bit about The Research Social in general, just kind of your elevator pitch, if you will, because what I really want to know is what inspired you to start it.
Yeah, well, first off, thank you guys for giving me the opportunity to be here today. I am super excited and happy that you guys even asked me to speak about this. And so this is something I'm really passionate about. So what I have heard throughout my career is the same things over and over. I kind of fell into clinical research. Mm-hmm. I never want someone's story to start off that they fell into clinical research, because what we do, it's so important. Everyone should know what clinical research is. And so through my journey going through college, I even went to Tuskegee University, where the holy mecca of why consents matter, right? And so I heard a little bit about clinical research, I thought it was maybe lab work, right? Or something like that. I never knew the ins and outs of research. And so when I was going through being a coordinator, going through a CRA, I really had to figure it out. And so I was like, you know what? Something has to stop here. Like, people want to be in this industry, but it's so hard to get in. And so that's why I created The Research Social. I really wanted to build community and let people know that they don't have to wait until, you know, someone just throws clinical research on them, or they find clinical research, or, you know, clinical research finds them. You know, it should be something people know about from the get-go. And so what better way to do that with other, you know, people that works in the industry? So that's kind of the story behind The Research Social.
I love it. And Becky can attest to this as well. We have questions daily about how in the world do you break in the clinical research? And it is a point of isolation for a lot of individuals. Those people who desperately want to explore the industry as a career, but even those individuals who are already in the industry, and the CRA is a prime example, what an isolated job. You know, absolutely. I mean, really, I mean, I know you're at the site, but you're at a different site every week, or, you know, a couple times a week. And, you know, maybe you have meetings with your team, and maybe you don't. Maybe you've got a co-monitor, maybe you don't. And you're giving updates to your management and blah, blah, blah. But the day to day workload is kind of own. And so having a community like The Research Social, I think, is a brilliant idea. And I know there's a lot of folks that say, OK, we'll join the ACRP and all this. But this is a lot more intimate, isn't it?
Absolutely. So one of the things that I keen myself on for The Research Social is we do live events. And so these live events are in places where people can actually socialize. You know, when you make friends in the craziest places, right? You go bowling, you go shoot darts, you know, you go do karaoke. Those are the things that we do at the Research Social, because I want you to show up authentic. When you're showing up suit and tie, a cute dress, you know, with heels that hurt your feet, you know, you are not 100% yourself. So I want you to come in. I want you to have your jeans, have your cute t-shirts, you know, feel like it's a, you know, Saturday hanging out with friends, because at that point, that is when we turn it to not just, hey, I follow you on LinkedIn, but we actually build real relationships with people. And what ends up happening, because I take this throughout the country, so I go city to city. So there's people who I started it in Dallas, then I went to Houston, then I went to Atlanta. And these are people that come together who's like, oh my God, like we needed this. I needed someone that maybe works at another institution around the corner, but I can't even ask, hey, you know, I don't even know who to call to get them, you know, get one patient to another study, you know? And so building those relationships matter when you're in clinical research. And so that is why I have people come to the Research Social. It's beyond that one-on-one, I liked your post. It is, oh my God, that is my friend now, and I know I can call her.
So how do you do that? Because that was going to be one of my questions, is how do you make sure the Research Social remains inclusive? And being local can be the antithesis to that, can't it? So how are you building these across different cities, and what's that strategy look like for you go forward?
Yeah. So my strategy has always been, first of all, I'm a party planner at heart. So being a party planner at heart has made me realize the things that people want and search for when they do want to do something outside of work, right? People don't want to go to a boring corporate America event after the 9 to 5. You know, they want to do something that's engaging, but also includes clinical research, right? So that is like my motto. And so going from city to city wasn't on the radar for me. This was going to be a home-based Dallas thing. And then once I started posting all of our events from Dallas, people were like, are you coming to Houston? Are you coming to Atlanta? Good, you know? And so that's kind of how it started. I just start popping up in different cities and posting, and honestly, people love it. They leave feeling like a breath of fresh air. They actually met people who are like their circle, their friends, and have things in common. Because how many times have you guys went out places and you're telling someone what you do? No one knows what we do.
Oh, I know. They are caught in headlights. I mean, they have no idea, right?
Absolutely. So being in a friend group where people actually know what you do is like a no-brainer. So, yeah.
That's pretty cool. And so then do you have kind of like chapter presidents in each of these places that keep these events going in your absence? Or is that something you're planning for the future, or you haven't really quite got that far ahead yet?
So for me, I have seen people host events across the country, right? And so one thing that's personable for me is that I am at every single Research Social event, because it means something to me that it's branded the way I want it to look, right? I have the vision of what I want that to look like. Now, of course, there's going to be some growing things that have to occur, right? And so I'm going to have to stop being the mama bear there and hand over some things. But for now, my goal is to make sure I am present. I can meet and guide people, because ultimately that is, people want to hear your story as a founder. Right. And so I make sure I'm at every event.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a great question, because you're right. I mean, from a scalability perspective, you're obviously not going to be able to be at every event moving forward if it continues to grow.
Absolutely.
But I'm sure that you'll have requirements on the individuals that can lead and host these and all of that. How do you foster genuine engagement? I mean, do you have an agenda for these events? And we used to do some of these with IBM, to where we would have the team go out to some type of an event where you do like video games or you do whatever, you know, you eat dinner and and have a couple of glasses of wine, and then you go play games or something like that. And it was always a lot of fun, and you lifelong friends from it. But there was always an agenda. There was kind of like a set thing to kind of foster to make sure everyone felt like they could engage. Even your shyest people didn't feel like they were being overpowered by your, you know, your most social people and that type of thing. What do you do to manage that?
So that's very funny that you ask. So I come up from a family that loves to throw parties. We throw parties for anything. And so that really fostered how I interact and how I get people going. So one thing, drinks and food is always a must. That gets people, you know, that gets people
like
relaxed.
It.
they start feeling, like they're with friends and they're hanging out. So we kind of start off with drinks and things like that. And then I start off with having everyone talk about their win through the week. So awesome. We usually do a little huddle. We do a little circle. And I say, okay, I want everyone to say something that was a win. It could be personal. It could be professional. That way people are engaged, right? We break that ice. Sometimes I also do, if you went to a baby shower, right? We play the game with the clip where you pin it on your shirt and we say you can't say the word research. And my, oh my, that is like the game, because how are you at a research event and can't say the word research? It's super hard. And then they win a prize and all the good stuff, right? So keeping people engaged, and I peep the people that hide in the scenes, right? So I introduce myself to everyone. So everyone knows that this is a safe place. This is where you can actually meet people that you need. So that's kind of my motto. I don't really have like a script of what we do for those events, because I really want to keep it real. You know, I want people to say, I went to a social event about research and I learned X, Y, and Z, and those conversations really just flow.
Love it.
Yeah.
Now, you offer a lot of support too outside of even the live events, though. Talk to us about what you do there.
Yeah. So so a lot of people reach out for career services, right? They want to know, hey, I can't get into research, or I want to level up and I want to become a CRA and I'm a coordinator, but something's going on with my resume, right? So I do one-on-one services for resume reviews, career coaching, because sometimes you just need to talk about it, right? You need to say, does this plan even make sense? And sometimes just having that second extra ear to listen and kind of give you some advice on that definitely changes the trajectory of your career. And so I love to talk to people in career coaching, guide them. So that's really a thing of mine. And then we also recently did a residency. So that residency afforded people the opportunity that's not in clinical research to be able to apply to a free program, hashtag free program, where I went over what is a protocol, how to read a protocol, what is the schedule of events, how do we make sure we stay within that, what's a deviation, you know, what's an SAE, right? So plain general information that people will probably charge you a pretty penny for, right? But
I
want people to have the resources to be able to make their dreams come true.
Wow, that's phenomenal. Yeah, there's some folks out there that are trying to start some of these programs that are just basic trainings. And then there's what I have found is that there are a lot of organizations that are reputable, that are really good, and they offer these simulations like the Task Research Academy, and which is phenomenal for people that are trying to break in. But there's also a lot of garbage out there that, you know, we talk a lot about fake candidates and fake, you know, credentialing from the candidate side or the job seeker side, but there's a lot of institutions or organizations that are fake, that are offering certifications or accreditations, and they're worth nothing. But your people are paying hundreds or thousands of dollars for stuff that's just garbage out there. And I know whenever you and I talked on the phone, one of the things that I would love to be able to put together is just a roster of industry approved internships, residency programs, educational programs, accreditation programs, certification programs, you know, something that people with across the industry can feed into. And first of all, ask the question, hey, go check this out. I saw one group, somebody pointed me to that was offering a CRA certification, and I went out and took a look at it, and they were charging $1,800 for a CRA certification. And it was wrong. Everything was wrong. There was nothing in there that was valid at all. But people were paying the money because they were so desperate to break into this industry. And it just, it breaks my heart because I'm like, this is the problem. This is the void that we in this industry have created by not having a clear career trajectory on how to break into this industry. That your path should be point A, point B, point C, point D. I mean, come on, there's so many careers that do have that very clear career trajectory. We don't. To your point, nobody even knows what clinical research is in the mainstream. And if we had that, we wouldn't have these offending institutions taking advantage of these individuals who are trying, honestly trying to get into this industry. So I love what you're doing there. It'd be really cool to see what we could do to kind of broaden it to a perspective, even if there were other groups that kind of like formed a cohort or a collaborative type organization or something, so that we could make this really big to protect the individuals that don't know what they don't know.
Absolutely. And it's a lot of people that don't know what they don't know. So you Google and you just say clinical research programs, right? And, you know, a couple of ones, everyone believes in Google, right? So it's like, if it's on Google, then it's true. Right. So, you know, they click on the first one they see. I mean, the only thing you got to really do is pay for that promotion to be the top of the list, right? And then you're in this program that doesn't certify anything. So you really have to do your homework, guys, and make sure that you're picking something. And that's why the mentorship programs, right? You need a mentor to make sure you're choosing the right programs, make sure you're actually learning what that role actually does. Because like Angela said, there's a lot of things that are not replicable.
Yeah. And one of the things I love about the research social is that you can talk amongst yourselves, the folks in the industry, to figure out, hey, I'm thinking about this thing. What do you think? Have you tried this before? Have you tried this program? Who are you using as a mentor? Who's looking over your resume? You can network amongst yourselves about your questions. You know, everybody, I think feels a little isolated, especially post-COVID. Everybody's just independent, doing their own thing. They fly in, they fly out. They might not have a lot of camaraderie within where they work, especially if you travel to sites like a CRA. So I think it would be so great to have people local that you can bounce things off of in real time in a casual, fun way. I love that.
Yeah. I agree. Yeah. Some type of community or mentorship. And I mean, even the community that we're building, we were building a free community. And last week was kind of it is kind of new for us, but it really is about career coaching and job search mentorship, but it's a free community that we've started out with. And Becky and I walked away from last Thursday's office hours with a kind of a little bit of a pat on the back, because for the first time, the community was coaching each other. It wasn't Angela giving answers. It was, you know, people passing back and forth their emails to each other and, hey, reach out to me and I'll help you with this and that type of thing. And I'm like, yeah, see, now we're getting somewhere, because that's what I think we've been missing a lot. And what I find on LinkedIn is you see less of that on LinkedIn and more people lamenting about their issues, which I get it. You got to have a sounding board, but let's go solve problems, because complaining about it's not going to solve it, right? So let's go come up with a way to solve the issues that we're addressing today in this industry. Because by the way, if we don't come up with a way to solve these problems, when tomorrow's issues come up, we're not going to have the tools to solve those either.
Yeah, I did a post recently. I will say that it's about naming them. I say, I don't complain, I name them. Because sometimes I feel like in our industry too, we think them, but we don't say it out loud, right? We say, okay, this is a problem. Like, why is this like this? But no one names it. No one calls it chaotic, right? When we know all of the moving parts are there, right? But it is. It's messy. Sometimes research is messy, but it's okay, right? And back to your point, we have to find a solution with the messiness. So naming it is also important.
Yeah, agreed.
Well, Ashley, we have had such a great time talking to you today, learning about the Research Social and what you're doing for clinical research professionals all over the country. Thank you so much for joining us today. I wish we had more time. Right. We'll have you back on for sure. We want to see how this progresses.
I do. Yeah, I would love to see this. Totally. And especially for those of you out there listening that would be very interested in perhaps either piggybacking off of what she's doing, collaborating with what she's doing. You have a community that is underserved or has an unmet community need. Let's broaden this. So we'll make sure, Ashley, that we tag you in the post whenever we drop this podcast so that people can reach out to you and talk to you about what you're doing. And perhaps we can just sit back and continue to see it grow.
Absolutely. And then, of course, you guys can follow me on Instagram, LinkedIn, researchsocial.com, all those good things. So I am here to serve and I am happy to be here.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Ashley. And thank you, Angela, for joining us. And thanks to everybody out there listening. At CRA Resources, we understand you have many options when it comes to selecting which clinical recruiting company to partner with. Not only do we take pride in working with the highest quality CRAs and site managers, we also only work with quality pharmas, biotechs, medical device companies, and CROs who recognize the importance and value of a CRA's role. So feel free to reach out at CRAResources.com for more information about our firm.